Welcome back, everybody. To Yom Yitzhak, the Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis 21b, and we are on the very top of Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We were really basing ourselves on the Mishnah. The Mishnah had told us that someone who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah is not going to be Yotzei, but Rabbi Yehuda said, no, actually, they could be Yotzei in such a situation. So what we were discussing is why that would be the case, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that it would be okay? Seemingly, he seems to hold that this bed is not going to be enough of a chatzitza to go and ruin your chiyuv of sukkah, which would mean that this would teach us something about the status of this bed as an ohel in terms of its being able to be chotzeitz, in terms of its being able to go and be a separation between the person and the sukkah. So we went into a whole discussion about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and what he holds in terms of an ohel. And now we ended up saying that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that even if it's something which is naturally formed, not man-made. Initially, we wanted to say that only something which is man-made would be considered an ohel. But now we proved that even something which is not man-made could be an ohel if it's the size of a large fist. So now, based on all this, the Gemara says, "V'harimita d'yesh b'kama egrofim." But we have the case of a bed, which is certainly the size of several fists. And utzanana, and we learned in the Mishnah above, Rabbi Yehuda omer no'agina yinu shayinu. And we see that he does say that you are allowed to go ahead and sleep under a bed in a sukkah, but that should be considered, oh well, that should be a problem. So answers the Gemara, no, shiny mita ho ogaba asuya. Answers the Gemara, no, a bed is going to be different because it's meant for use of its top, meaning it has no use for anything under it. It's all about for the top of it, and therefore it's not going to be considered an ohel in that situation, no matter how big it is, even though it's the size of those fists. Says the Gemara, those shvarim nami l'gabanasim. We have this whole proof about this whole case of the Afar Para Aduma and the water and using the oxen as a type of ohel, but the oxen also is used for the top of it. You're meant to sit on top of it, so why would that be considered an ohel, but the beds would not be? So answers the Gemara, Kiyasa Ravin Amar Belazar, shiny shvarim, oxen are going to be different than a bed because hol megina mal harom, since they shelter the shepherds. So we're talking about very brave shepherds who use their animals as shade or protection from rain. They go under them, hoping that they're not going to move. So we see that they actually are used for shelter underneath, and that's why they would be considered noel. So ihachi, if that's the case, mitanami, oh megina amin alim isandalim shdachta. When it comes to a bed also, a bed should be considered noel because sometimes it is used to shelter that which is underneath it, like shoes and sandals that are placed underneath the beds. So we see that really it should be considered an ohel again. So Elam Rava, Rava gives a different answer. Shiny Shvarim, there is a difference between the oxen, which are considered an ohel, and the beds, which are not, because Holva Asum Lehigin Al Bnei Me'ayim Shalhem, because since their backs, the skin of the animal, is meant to shelter the innards that are underneath that. So that's why oxen are going to be considered an ohel, because it is actually sheltering that which is underneath. Shenemar Or Uvasar Tal Bishenu Uvatsamos Vigidim Tisochacheni. We see that it says Tisochacheni, that it's sheltering me when talking about the skin of the animal. V'ibayisemara, another answer according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Letame, we could say that here, Rabbi Yehuda is really going l'shitaso. We could say that by saying that someone who sleeps under a bed is actually going to be fulfilling his obligation of sukkah, he's continuing with his shita, that d'amar sukkas diras keva b'inan, because he says elsewhere that a sukkah needs to be a diras keva, needs to be a permanent type of dwelling, a fixed type of dwelling. We said this already on because Rabbi Yehuda was the shita that said that a sukkah over 20 amos is going to be dal. So clearly holds that a sukkah needs to be diras keva. V'havele mita diras arai. And this bed situation, the space under the bed is a temporary dwelling. It's diras arai. The sukkah oel keva. And sukkah is an oel keva. The loasi oel arai. I'm about to oel keva. We're not going to have a situation where a temporary shelter, an oel arai, is going to come and nullify a oel keva. Oh, I asked the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon damar nami sukkah diras keva. But Rabbi Shimon also is of the shita on daf zayin amud beis, where he says that sukkah needs to be a diras keva. If you remember on Zayin Amud Beis, that was a machlokas about whether the sukkah requires three or four walls. He said you need four walls because it's diras keva. But v'asi ol arayim mavate ol keva. But he does hold in our Mishnah that a temporary shelter, meaning this bed and sleeping under the bed, would come and nullify the fixed shelter, the ol keva of the sukkah. So answer Gemara, yeah, b'ha pligi. That actually is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Mar savar asi ol arayim mavate ol keva. So Rabbi Shimon holds that a temporary shelter could go and nullify a fixed one, meaning that the bed could ruin the sukkah, and therefore you can't sleep under it. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, we're not going to allow a bed to go and ruin this sukkah. Good. Now the last part of our mission, we said, Amrim Shimon Maisa B'Tavi Avda. We said the story with Tavi, his slave, the Rabbi Gamliel's slave, that he would sleep under the bed of a sukkah, and he did this because Rabbi Gamliel said, look how amazing my slave is, that he's such a Talmud Chacham that he knows that slaves are exempt from the sukkah, and that's why he sleeps under the sukkah. And we learn from here that someone who sleeps under the bed of a sukkah is not going to be Yotzei. So Tanya was talking to Bryce Amr Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Misi Chaso Shal Rabbi Gamliel, from the casual conversation of Rabbi Gamliel, we learn two things. We learn that avadim are going to be pater from sukkah. So when we also learn that someone who sleeps under a bed is not fulfilling his obligation of sukkah. Why do we say specifically from the sikha, so from the casual conversation of Rav Gamliel? Why not say from the words of Rav Gamliel? So answer the Gemara, because we wanted to teach us something else. Kiyad amarav achavarada. So from where do we know that even the casual conversations of Talmidei Chachamim need to be learned from? Because it says whose leaves do not wither. So when talking about Talmidei Chachamim, usually the fruits are the Torah, and the leaves are referring to Sichas Chulin, to other types of things. So we see from here that you can also learn from the casual conversations of Talmidei Chachamim. Some of them, the Mefarshim explain, Rav Chaim Velazhner explains, that this is referring to a Havamina. I mean, Talmidei Chachamim aren't wasting their breath talking about other stuff. So even if they had a Havamina and they realized they were all wrong, there's still a tremendous amount to learn from their thought process. That is over there. That's the end of that Gemara. We are now up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, that if someone supports his sukkah with the posts of a bed, kshera, so that is going to be kasha, the sukkah is going to be valid. Rabbi Yudah says, if the sukkah cannot stand on its own, psula, then it is going to be puzzle. Good, says the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's going to be puzzle if it's not able to stand on its own? So this is machlokas between Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo. Chadam, or Rabbi 1 says that Rabbi Yehuda says the sukkah is going to be no good in la keva, because it's not keva. There's no fixture element to it because it's being supported by something else. Vachadam, or the other one says, now there's a big, interesting topic about something which is mamin bedavra makabel tumah, but basically what this means is we're saying that since the schach is being held up with something that is susceptible to tumah, we know that in order to be kosher for schach, it has to be something which is einu makabel tumah. So even though it's not being used for schach itself, but it's being used to support the schach, Rabbi Yehuda would be holding that since it's being used to support the schach, it's as if it's with the schach itself, and therefore it's going to be not kosher. So ask the Gemara, my benai, what's the difference between these two reasons, either neisha in la keva or because it's a mamin bedavra makabel tumah? Kigon shenot shapudin shabarzo. We're talking about a situation. The nafkamina would be where we have iron spikes that are holding it up, and you put schach on top of them. According to the one who says that it's not permanent enough, so this is certainly permanent enough. And according to the one who says that the issue is that it's being upheld by something which is mekabel tumah, this is still being upheld by something which is mekabel tumah, and therefore the sukkah is going to be invalid. Now comes the Gemara and qualifies this whole sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Abai Abai says, Lo shono el smach. This mishnah only refers to a case where one is supporting the schach itself for the bedpost. But if you put the schach over the bed, meaning so that the boards of the bed now form the walls of the sukkah, but the schach is on some sort of separate freestanding structure, some different type of frame, then it's going to be kasher. Then kshera, says Rabbi Yehuda, my time, so why would it be okay in this situation? And the answer is, the Gemara is going to explain this because it satisfies both of the explanations of Rabbi Yehuda. According to the one who says that the whole reason why sukkah supported by the bedpost is no good because it doesn't have kefa, it's not permanent enough because you move the bed all the time, are yesh lakeva. Here, since there's a freestanding frame that is supporting the schach, that is considered enough of a kevel. According to one that says that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not going to be okay because it's being upheld by something which is makabel tumah, this free-stranding structure, this frame, is not something which is susceptible to tumah, and therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would say it would be okay in that situation. This is Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. We are going to start the new Mishnah tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful day.